Ask 100 different parents how to raise healthy, wholesome, and holy kids, and you'll get 100 different answers. Today on Licensed to Parent, we'll be discussing the pros and cons of different parenting styles, along with some parenting tips from our host, Trace Embry. Today's program just might help you increase your chances of producing God-honoring offspring who will eventually bud into God-honoring adults. So stay tuned. This is Licensed to Parent. Well, Trace, it is great to see you again today. We've got quite a program ahead of us because we are going to be, I guess we're going to be telling me how to put the right parenting principles into place. And in the opening remarks just a moment ago, I alluded to the fact that you'll be offering tips today that could help us all increase our chances of bringing up kids who honor God and grow into God-honoring adults. And of all the different parenting approaches and styles, I am pretty sure that our listeners would like to know which one has the market cornered for securing offspring who honor both parents and gods. So what say you, Grand Poobah?
Well, I would say none of them have the market cornered. I think there's a little bit of all the styles and all the parenting. And listen, Rich, we can do it all right and still come up with a bucket of bolts. You know, I mean, you've heard me say this before. The only perfect parent that ever existed was God the Father. Look what his first two kids did.
Right.
But most parenting professionals agree that there are basically, it all funnels down to three basic parenting styles. The authoritative model, which is probably the most biblical model, the authoritarian model, and the permissive model. But again, Rich, we can do this all right and still come up with a bucket of bolts, and no one does it all right. So I think it's easy to get hung up on styles and, you know, we need to do things a certain way, but I think that there's areas that we need to be more permissive in our approach. I think there's areas that we probably need to be a little bit more authoritarian in our approach, and the balance comes out to what's called the authoritative model, which is really most congruent with a biblical worldview.
I've heard this expanded into other areas of our Christian faith. You know, it's like having too much of a grace-filled approach versus too legal an approach to to life in general. So is that sort of the same type of thing?
Absolutely.
Finding that balance? Okay.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I've heard you say that as parents, we really do need to be firm on principle but flexible on method. And I guess that's, again, what we're talking about here. What do you mean when you say that?
Well, every kid comes out different, you know, a lump of clay, and I call it DNA clay. And some you can mold and shape because it's soft and malleable. And then others you have to use a hammer and chisel. It's still clay, it's still DNA, but you have to kind of chisel it into shape. I have two daughters. One, I pretty much had to chisel into shape. And the other one, I just looked at. And, you know, she just melted. So the method was totally different. The end game was the same. You want obedience, you want respect, and you want them to be shaped and molded to where they have the mind of Christ. And now this is ultimately up to them, but we have a responsibility on our end as parents to make sure that we're doing all we can to shape that clay. In the end, that clay has a mind of its own, and it can do what it wants to do. But in those 18 years that we have them, we have that responsibility to shape them toward a biblical worldview.
Well, now, I've heard a lot of parents actually reflect these same thoughts, but from the opposite side. You know, they'll say, we raised our three kids exactly the same way, and they all turned out different. So what you're saying is we sort of need to reverse that process and look at the child and not raise them all the same way.
Right. I've had people say the same thing to me. I raised my kids all the same. They turned out different. I said they turned out different because you raised them all the same.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a...
they are different.
Yeah. It's not a either or. It's a both and. It's not, you know, nature or nurture. It's you've got to nurture the nature. You have to shape the hand that you've been dealt, so to speak. And some kids are more strong-willed, some are very compliant.
Well, as we're talking about these three main types of parenting styles, I think we really need to kind of get a good view of what these look like. And especially in my mind, you mentioned authoritarian and authoritative, which sound the same but are different. So can you lay these out, the authoritarian, authoritative, and permissive styles, and give us sort of a look at each?
Sure. The authoritarian style would be a parent who's kind of a drill sergeant. You know, the bottom line is the bottom line. That's it. Doesn't want to have any excuses. It's pretty non-relational. You know, you're not really cultivating a real good parent-child relationship as far as a kid always wanting to come to you to be their go-to counsel because they're fearful that, you know, I'm just going to get a lecture, I'm going to get berated. But this parent definitely gets the end game accomplished. It's just that when the kid goes on his own, is he really going to be willing to accomplish that same end game mm-hmm. outside the home? Some of us err in that area. I think maybe I erred in that area with my own kids, you know. And then there's the authoritative model, which the way it differs would be you give the kid a little more latitude, more skin in the game, so to speak, where it's more relational, where you're still digging your heels in with your principal, but you are a little more flexible on method. And he knows what the boundaries are. He knows there are natural consequences for breaking those boundaries. But it's not so much your way or the highway, although you do want to still accomplish that biblical worldview as an end game, that mind of Christ as an end game, but you're allowing Junior to make some mistakes that he'll experience the natural consequences of. But it's basically, again, more congruent with the way Scripture has laid it out for us to be parents. Then there's the permissive parent. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that's the biggest problem with parenting today. I think we've bought into the whole Dr. Spock thing from the 1960s, and we allow our kids to do things that they shouldn't be allowed to do. And we don't make them do things that they should be made to do. They basically are these retarded adults whose brains and emotions have not developed to the point where they are capable of making their own decisions. But we give these kids these heavyweight decisions, such as, do I want to be a boy or a girl? Now, this is incredible to me. I don't understand how this is happening, but it is a byproduct of some of the permissive parenting that's going on today. And it's absolutely destroying our families, turning kids into narcissists and little demigods in a universe called me.
Would I be correct in saying that this is something of a continuum, though, where on the far, well, I'm not going to say right or left, but on one far end, you've got the authoritarian. On the other extreme end, you've got the permissiveness. Mm-hmm. And that authoritative is somewhere in the middle there, perhaps sure. skewing a little bit more toward authoritarian, because it seems to me that the permissive parenting style may have, in fact, come from a move to be less authoritarian.
I think you're exactly right.
And to allow some of that grace, to be permissive, to allow the child to make mistakes, but then they just say, well, you know, forget all the rules and make mm-hmm. all the mistakes you want to. You'll learn from your mistakes.
I think that's exactly right. You know, culture has a way of teeter-tottering. We find the mistakes that we're making in our lives, in our families, in our culture, and then we go 180 the other way, and we end up erring the other way yeah. until it finally goes back and forth until we finally find the balance. And what we're saying here on the Licensed to Parent broadcast is that God has already found the balance for us if we'll just submit to His authority and obey Him, basically.
Well, Trace, I know parents can find themselves really anywhere on this continuum. And as we parent, we've got to really watch our kids and see how we're doing. But what are some of the negative outcomes that a parent might discover if he or she is being too authoritarian?
Yeah, well, I think certainly relationally, the Junior's not going to want to spend a lot of time with a parent like that. I think we can stunt a child's creativity. You know, when we're always making the decisions for our kids and it's always the bottom line and you never give Junior any latitude to solve his own problems, then of course those parts of the brain don't have to fire anymore and because dad or mom are making those decisions. Mm. So I think we stunt his creativity, self-confidence. When you don't accomplish anything of your own creation or from your own ideas, then you're going to be a little lacking in the area of confidence. Self-esteem, again, comes from accomplishment dealing with the actual things of life without having a lord over you all the time saying, no, this is how it's got to be done. So you're kind of a pawn in the world of your parents. I think it spawns a bitterness. when you're not allowed, especially as you get into those teen years, and you're not allowed to make some decisions for yourself. And I'm not saying every decision, because I think there's some decisions that parents still need to help their teenagers make. But I think it does cause a little bit of bitterness. And you certainly lose trust in your parents if what your parents are lording over you really doesn't work. Mm. And you don't trust yourself then to make good decisions as well. And there's that constant dependence upon your parents when you don't... or aren't allowed, rather, to make decisions for yourself. And sometimes you go into adulthood and you got the, you know, these Peter Pan kids that never want to grow up because they never really had to make any decisions in the adolescent years.
Mm. Well, Trace, I know you have a lot to say about the other side of the spectrum, the permissive parenting, but we're going to save that one for last. Let's look at this middle ground now. Why is the authoritative model for parented touted by most parenting experts as being the best model?
Well, it's instructive. You know, there's interaction between parent and child. It's not just a one-sided conversation. There's still firm boundaries, so Junior does have a point of reference for what right and wrong is. It's a more logic or spiritual-based approach than just a feelings-based thing. I think very often in a permissive parenting, it's all about Junior's feelings. You keep Junior smiling and things are going well, and I think that's a big mistake. It's about more of fulfilling the needs of our kids more than the desires of our kids. It's more of a spiritual approach rather than a legalistic approach. There's structure to it rather than the chaos of permissiveness. There's a healthy fear without the intimidation of an authoritarian model, but there still is that healthy fear and respect that, similar to what we would have if we see a policeman in our rearview mirror. He's not out to hurt us, but there's that, am I doing the speed limit?
Right.
My seatbelt on, the whole nine yards. There's not a lot of yelling. I mean, you know, you don't have to bully your way into getting what you want done with your kids. Whereas the authoritarian, you know, he might do the whole drill sergeant thing, you know, get down and give me 20. You know, that's not part of the authoritative model. It's basically, this is what needs to be done, and here's the consequences if it doesn't, you know. But it does give room for relationship. Mm-hmm. And where our sons and daughters aren't afraid to come to us with their questions, even their objections to the things that we have to share with them. But it still preserves our authority. It's not robotic. There's a human element to it. It allows for grace and mistakes without, you know, getting all bent out of shape and you're grounded for the rest of the year, you know, that kind of stuff. That doesn't work well with kids. It doesn't really work well with adults either. But it best fits the biblical worldview. I think that's the most important. It's biblical, and it works for even the heathen. You know, there are a lot of heathens out there raising their kids who accidentally just do things right. You know, without the instruction manual, there are some guys who can put together a model car much better than some of us with all the instructions right in front of us. It just doesn't work. So it's just the human experience.
Well, now you mentioned something right there, though, and that is that it even works for the heathens. But what you said at the top of the program was that the authoritative, this middle ground one that we're talking about, seems to be the most biblical in its approach. Mm-hmm. And why is it that Christian parents, and how is it that Christian parents have an advantage? What is that advantage when it comes to imparting what they know to be best when raising their kids?
Well, I think, Rich, they're always appealing to a higher authority when they tell their sons and daughters what they need to do or what they can't do. They can always appeal to God as being that ultimate authority. This is not my idea. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason you can't have sex before marriage or the reason you can't do drugs is, you know, this or that or the other. And in a postmodern world where everything's about our own opinions, Junior can't go to the parent and say, well, that's just your opinion.
Yeah.
You know, the parent has that option to say, well, it's not my opinion. This is what the Word of God says. And you know from the time you were, you know, raised in this home or from the time at least I got converted, that my life is now under authority, under the authority of Almighty God and Scripture being his love letter to us, instruction manual for us. And so he can appeal to that authority. I think that's the biggest thing. Moms and dads can always go to that common source. I think that's the big deal.
Well, and I think also when we place ourselves under that same authority and do so in front of our kids so that they see that we are under the same authority that they are,
mm-hmm.
it enables us to give them instruction. It enables us to equip and empower them, mm-hmm. but it also allows us not to be the bad guy.
Right. And it puts us on a common ground. You know, we have the Christ relationship, that there's a common denominator there, being our Lord and his ways of doing things. We call him our Lord, but he's also our brother. And when our family agrees that the Lord is the Lord, then we are not only our kids' parents, but in some sense, we're their brothers too. So there's that common ground that just seems to give kids a sense of, I don't know, belonging maybe, identity, where they feel like, again, it draws them away from this authoritarian, my way or the highway attitude, and does more to build relationships with our kids.
We saw this played out in our family, not specifically in this type of example, but in something similar. We've homeschooled our kids, at least for part of their schooling up through high school. And when our oldest got into seventh grade, he and my wife was the primary teacher, they would butt heads on just about everything. And it wasn't that my wife was doing it wrong, but, you know, he'd reached that seventh grade age where parents don't know anything. And it was very difficult for her and for me to be both the parent and the teacher. Mm-hmm. And so at that time, we enrolled him in a private Christian school. And, you know, we were still just as involved with the teaching, but all of a sudden, we were his allies.
Yeah.
We were no longer his enemy combatants.
Yeah, divide and conquer is what you did.
and it worked like a charm. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the same principle that we're looking at right here, is when you say the authority of God is above us. Another thing to bring up is if I tell you something to do and it's my opinion, you know, I can say this is right, but somebody else can come along. Anything I can talk them into, somebody else can talk them out of.
Right.
But when it's not my way or my word or my opinion, but it is the absolute fact of God's word,
right,
then that's kind of hard to argue with.
Yeah, and every parent has had this experience where they've told Junior from the time he was out of the cradle about this, that, or the other, and Junior has bucked him. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, Junior has a revelation at 12, 13, 14 years old and says, you know, Mr. So-and-so said this and blah, 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 blah. And you're like, I've been telling you that for 12 or 13 years, 13 years now, you know, come on. I totally understand what you're talking about there.
We need to take a break right now. We're talking with Trace Embry about parenting styles that we need to look very carefully at as parents of teens especially, and trying to shape our parenting around a biblical worldview. This is Licensed to Parent. We'll be back with more conversation, including looking at the disadvantages to appealing to that higher power when we return. Hi, I'm Rich Rozzle, co-host of Licensed to Parent. The conversations and the teaching that you hear on this program come from the daily experiences gained at Shepherd's Hill Academy, the Christ-centered therapeutic boarding school founded by our host, Trace Embry, that serves troubled teenagers from all around the world. Teens come to Shepherd's Hill struggling with depression, oppositional defiance, ADD, ADHD, cutting, digital addictions, and any number of other behavioral disorders. Yet by God's grace and by using the scriptural principles that we discuss right here on Licensed to Parent, these students experience healing. Not only that, many are graduating medication-free. At Shepherd's Hill, we're cultivating the soil of our students' hearts so that the seed of God's Spirit can take root and bear fruit. And on Licensed to Parent, we're equipping you to be the parent your child needs. Please join us in this important outreach by visiting us today at LicensedToParent.org. Your tax-deductible contribution can rebuild the hearts and lives of teens and their parents in today's troubled culture. Don't wait. Go to LicensedToParent.org and click Donate at the top of the page.
This is Kevin Swanson from Generations with Vision, and I want to say that Shepherd's Hill Academy is a wonderful opportunity for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the reconciliation of our young people with God, reformation of life, the ministry of the Spirit of God, and radically changing lives. And by the grace of God, this is what happens with Shepherd's Hill Academy. And we want to praise God for what these folks have been doing.
Shepherd's Hill Academy serves families with teenagers in crisis. If you have a situation you need help with, go to helpmytroubledteen.org and click on Inquire Now. That's helpmytroubledteen.org.
Welcome back. Once again, you're listening to Licensed to Parent, a radio outreach from Shepherd's Hill Academy in Martin, Georgia. And our host is Trace Embry, the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill Academy. You can learn more at licensedtoparent.org. And Trace, just before the break, I teased the fact that there are some disadvantages potentially to appealing to a higher authority. And I think you actually touched on this at the start of the program about the one perfect parent.
Yeah, the only perfect parent, of course, is our Father in heaven. As I've said before, look what his first two kids did. But I think one of the dangers, if you want to consider it a danger, is misrepresenting God. You know, misinterpreting Scripture or abusing Scripture or using Scripture out of context. Mm-hmm. Nothing will turn a kid off more to the church, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to you as a parent than when you do something like that. So that's a big disadvantage. One disadvantage is every mistake that we make in our life has a tendency to rub off on the view our kids have of God, especially as fathers. You know, if we're maybe too authoritarian,
sure,
let's say, then our kids see our God as authoritarian, and they're ashamed of their mistakes beyond the point of being able to confess them and to repent of them, to discuss them, and, you know, to therapeutically talk with you as a parent about them and have you pray with them.
Yeah.
So it does kind of break down relationships that way. That's why it's so important for parents to be in tune with the Word of God and submissive to Him. It's much easier for our kids to submit to our authority when they see that we are submitting to an authority greater than ourselves.
Yeah.
There's just something about that chain of command. And so as far as disadvantages, I don't know of any other disadvantages to appealing to a higher authority than that.
Well, you did open up quite a box there, though, with that one. I know a number of people who grew up in abusive family situations, mm-hmm, and they want nothing to do with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would I want something to do with a, quote, heavenly father when my earthly father,
right,
was so bad to me?
Sure.
And, you know, and that could be bad in any number of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm reminded of Christ's admonition that, you know, it'd be better that, you know, we have a millstone tied around our neck and we'd be thrown in a drown than that we lead one of these young ones aside.
Right. That's a heavy duty responsibility.
It's a very heavy responsibility. And, you know, to see that it falls into play in our very parenting style,
mm-hmm,
that kind of ups the ante just a little
sure
bit.
Sure does.
Not to use a gambling term too heavily, but it does make it that much more serious,
mm-hmm,
that we be intentional and we take our approach to parenting very seriously and try to do it in a God-honoring way.
Yeah. You know, the name of this program is Licensed to Parent, and I would never want to see the government come down on us to where we have to actually have a license to parent. But it's kind of funny. We're talking about the gravity of actually being a parent. You need a license to fish. You need a license to hunt. You need a license to drive, a license to get married. But any two, you know, hormonally challenged people can have a child. And so, you know, putting it in perspective, spiritually or emblematically speaking, we do need a license to parent, but that license to parent can only come from the Lord, and we only acquire that when we totally submit our lives to Him, mm, in how we raise our kids.
Yeah. Now, we haven't touched on it yet, but we need to turn the corner and at least introduce the topic of permissive parenting since it is so pervasive.
Absolutely.
Some might say that permissive parenting is, in fact, the style that is most godlike. Now, we have said that we don't believe it is, but God does give us free will. He is very forgiving. You know, you might even say that Joseph and Mary were permissive with Jesus.
Yeah.
So how do you combat that ideology?
Well, a lot of people want to equate God the Father with His kids here on earth and we, earthly fathers, with our kids. And that usually works pretty good, except for the fact that there is a difference between a baby on through adolescence and a full-grown adult in the brain, for crying out loud. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, He created full-grown adults with free will. But when we create, those kids are not full-grown adults with free will. Well, there's a free will, but there are consequences for that. That's why we have 18 years to shape those kids into when they finally do reach that age of accountability, that hopefully, because of our parenting styles and tactics, we've shaped those kids to the point when they exercise their free will that they're going to exercise the will of the Lord. I think of the biblical precedent, David and Absalom. David was kind of an absentee father, kind of hands-off, permissive in a lot of ways, and there were some horrible things that took place in the parent of a man who was a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
And then you look at Eli, who had his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and this is a guy who, evidently these were adult sons, at least of the teenage years anyway, where he was so permissive that God actually cursed his family, killed his two sons. And the Bible says, and I forget which, it's in 1st or 2nd Samuel, but and you can look it up, but basically God condemned Eli and his family because he did not control those sons.
Right.
And control is a kind of a strong word. We have a tendency to put that word in the category of an authoritarian style parenting. But if you are super permissive, then there are probably some points at which you need to be a little more authoritarian to balance that into what we explain as an authoritative model. Mm.
One final thought on this. There's the verse in Scripture that says, train up a child in the way he should go. Mm-hmm. When he is old, he will not soon depart from it. In years gone by, people have taken that to mean, have a firm hand, guide and direct. It's like there is one way and only one way to do it. Other interpretations will say, no, your child was made by God in certain ways. Discover those ways and guide that child so that the child can grow into that.
Right.
That sort of represents both sides of the continuum, or it can. Mm-hmm. So on our next program, we are going to look at the permissive parent and see what the pros, cons, and indifferences may be in that, and really break that down, because as we said, very pervasive in our society today, and there's so much more we could say about it.
Yeah, and I can tell you that the kids that come to Shepherd's Hill Academy, 95% of those parents err on the permissive side of things. And I think when you see some of the abominations going on in families, in schools, it comes from products of a permissive home.
Okay, we will find out more about this on our next program. This is Licensed to Parent. Your host is Trace Embry, and I'm Rich Rozzle. So glad that you've joined us today. I would encourage you, if you'd like to hear more of our podcasts, you can find them on our website, licensedtoparent.org. While you're there, you'll also find links to our blog and ways to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. And last but not least, I would encourage you to look at two links. One is at the bottom right-hand side of the page, and that says Shepherd's Hill Academy, Learn More. If you'll click on that, you can find out more about our parent ministry here. Shepherd's Hill Academy is a residential treatment program for troubled teens, and we would love for you to find out more, because there may well be a teen in your life somewhere who could use the help here. In the meantime, in the upper right portion of the screen, I'd like you to notice the donate button. This ministry is not possible without your help, and any donation in any amount would go a long way in helping us minister to children here at Shepherd's Hill Academy and to parents right here on the Licensed to Parent broadcast. I'm Rich Rozzle. That's it on our program today. With a final comment, here's your host, Trace Embry.
Folks, remember, if you don't train your kids, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.